Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I must apologize for my late arrival. I had an unplanned tour of Chicago. I love my GPS, but I love my Bible more. I now realize that GPS is not as reliable as they seem. But then again, garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you put in, that's exactly what you'll get out. But I do apologize so much for being late. And just to let you know how honored I am just to be able to speak to you this evening from the Word of God. I am very blessed, and I will not waste much time, but get straight into what I'd like to share with you this evening. First of all, just to let you know that I bring you greetings from the congregation in South Holland, and just to let you know that it's a joy just to know that we have Christians in different localities who all believe in the same thing and are striving to keep the unity in the bond of peace. And to that end, I am indeed blessed just to be here. The whole idea of walking with God, which is the theme of the gospel meeting for the last several days, is important to every Christian, because every Christian seeks to walk with God.
Amen.
And how we walk with God depends largely, in my view, on the level of faith that we possess. You see, it's one thing to say that we have faith, but it's a far different thing when we examine the kind of faith that we have. Because if the truth be told, then we would agree that for many of us we have just enough faith to take us to church and back. Many of us possess just enough faith to be able to get in our cars and drive to our worship service and back. But when the rubber meets the road, for many of us, we lack that kind of faith that requires us, and it enables us to be able to walk with God if we have a certain kind of faith. And so this evening, as we look at walking with God, I'd like to look at a lesson entitled The Audacity of the Christian's Faith. Because I believe that for the Christian to really walk with God, he has been called upon to possess an audacious faith. A faith that is bold, a faith that is fearless, a faith that is courageous. Anything less than that is a faith that is mediocre. And you and I know that if we have a casual faith, we will end up a casual team. And therefore, it is important that we seek to have the kind of faith so that we can walk with God as his ambassador. So as we go through this lesson this evening, the question we must ask ourselves is this: what kind of faith do I possess? Do I possess a mediocre faith? Do I possess a kind of faith that is casual? Or is my faith bold, courageous, and fearless? When we look at the word audacity, or the word audacious, the word audacious means bold. It means fearless. It means one who is not afraid to put into action what he believes. The word audacious. The Christian faith, of course, we all know that the word faith from the Greek really means to have a firm belief in God. A firm belief in God. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible tells us that faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I like how the New Century Version puts it. This is how it puts it. It says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. So faith means that even though we have not seen the thing, we believe that it exists. And that is what the Christian has been called upon to do. We live in a world, brothers and sisters and friends, in which the world prefers to be able to see the thing before they believe it. This is the time that Christians need to rise up and to show the world that the kind of faith we have is not the kind of faith that seeks to walk by sight, but this is the kind of faith in which even though we do not see, because God has said it, we believe it. And the kind of faith that we should have then is a bold faith. I like what the writer says in Proverbs 28 and verse 1. He says, the wicked flees when no one pursues. But the righteous are as bold as lions. And so Christians then are those whose faith is as makes them as bold as lions. It means that we are bold. It means that we are fearless. It means that we are not afraid because God says it. So as we look this evening at the lesson, the audacity of the Christian's faith, I'd like for us to look at 3 points. First of all, this kind of faith is the kind of faith in which very few are traveling on. It is the road less traveled. Anything that has to do with believing without seeing, not many people want to be engaged in that. Because everybody, just about everybody out there in the world, prefers to see the thing before they believe it. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 19, Jesus Christ rebuked his disciples. As a matter of fact, he said, "O faithless and perverse generation." In other words, any generation that seeks to rely more on what it sees to believe it than to believe in the Almighty God, Jesus Christ describes that generation as perverse and faithless. The road less traveled is a road where many would rather travel on because they are not called upon to believe in that which they do not see. Do you recall and remember in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus Christ says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." And then he says, "There are many who go in by it." And then he goes on, he says, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it." Jesus Christ did say that many are called, but few are chosen. When Christians decide to serve God and to walk with God, those are the few who are willing to put their faith in the Almighty God, even though they have not seen what God has promised them just yet. Audacious faith. In a world in which there are so many skeptics and so many cynics, we are being audacious to believe in that which we do not see. In a world where there are so many doubters, and so many folks who refuse to believe, when Christians believe in the Almighty God, even though they do not see Him, that is an audacious faith. And that's what we have been called upon to do. We have been called upon to move from the mediocre faith to an audacious faith, a faith that is bold and fearless. In Matthew 22, verse 14, Jesus Christ did tell the disciples, he says, you know, "Be aware of this, that many are called, but few are chosen." In Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua said, "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house," in other words, the majority decided to go one way. But Joshua said, "Listen, as for me and my house, this is what we will do. We will serve the Lord." So we have been called upon then. Every single one of us inside here have been called upon to live an audacious life. A life that is bold, a life that is fearless, a life that is extraordinary. And if the life that we have been living is ordinary, we need to go back to the drawing board, because Jesus Christ has called us to live an extraordinary life. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus Christ says, "The thief comes not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The question then is, what kind of faith do you possess? What kind of faith is characterized by my own life? So we have been called upon then to live an extraordinary life. What am I talking about? If you will, look at Luke 17, Luke the 17th chapter, and look at verses 3 through 5. And this is a rather interesting discourse that Jesus Christ had with his disciples. In Luke chapter 13, and we look at verses 3 through 5. "Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him." Look at this now. "And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day he returns to you saying, 'I repent,' or 'I am sorry,' you shall forgive him." No, this is the kicker. In verse 5, the Bible says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Because they recognize that for them to merely forgive someone so many times is not easy. So they said, Lord, increase our faith. Because that's the extraordinary life that we have been called upon to live. When we forgive only those we want to forgive, when we forgive so many times that we please to forgive, that's not an extraordinary life. The extraordinary life is when we seek to forgive the brother 70 times 7. And the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. It takes an audacious faith to forgive someone so many times. It takes an audacious and bold faith to forgive somebody when the hurt is still hurting. It takes a bold faith. But that's the kind of faith the Christian has been called upon to possess. Is your faith then mediocre? Is your faith then casual? Is it barely enough to make the grade? Jesus Christ says, no. We have been called upon to walk with God with an audacious and bold and fearless kind of faith. In the midst of challenges, we refuse to give up and refuse to give up our faith because the faith that we have as Christians is not an ordinary faith. It is a bold and audacious faith. We think of Job. And of course, you know the story when Job lost his health and lost his wealth and lost even his children. And you can almost say that he lost his wife because Mrs. Job said, do you still hold on to your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? And look at this now. His wife said, are you still holding on to your integrity? And what was Job's response? Job responded in Job 2 verses 9 and 10. He responded by saying, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we accept good from God and not adversity? And then he says, in all this, the Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. My friend, you know, it's easy to say that we will hold on to our faith in difficult times. But when we are in the situation, when we are facing a dilemma, when our backs are against the wall, Job has taught us that when our faith is genuine and bold and audacious, we can say like Job, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. We can say like Job, my Redeemer lives. We can say like Job that this is the Lord's doing without giving up our faith. And there are many Christians, and let me rephrase that, there are many who were faithful Christians, who because of challenges in their lives, they have given up the faith. Because of difficulties that they faced, they raised the flag of surrender. And I'm saying to us this evening, I'm saying to us, regardless of what you go through, if you have a bold and fearless and audacious and genuine faith, regardless of what you go through, you will never give up your faith in God. Job said in Job 13 verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though God exposes me to so many challenges, I will never give up. Job said, yet will I trust him. The question is, do we only trust God in good times? Do we only remember and rely on God in good times? Even when we're going through challenges, Job has taught us that's the time also that we need to raise the level of our faith. An audacious faith is what is required. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Genesis 22 and verse 5. Genesis 22 and look at verse 5. I won't be going through everything, but just to sort of summarize what's happening here. The Lord God had told Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, to offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And what is so interesting is that the Bible says that Abraham got everything that was needed, including his son, his only son in wedlock, that's Isaac, and started on his journey to Mount Moriah. Now remember now, he's going to Mount Moriah to offer his son as a sacrifice. That means Isaac was going to be killed. Stay with me now. The Bible says in verse 5, and Abraham said to the young men who had accompanied them, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder, look at this now, and worship, and look at that plural pronoun, and we will return. But then, how is it that Isaac was going to be offered as a sacrifice to God on Mount Moriah, but yet still the lad and I, we will return to you? What that tells us is that Abraham knew that somehow God will work things out. He did not know how. It was not his prerogative to find out how. His duty was to obey God. And he said, the lad and I will return to you. Somebody should have reminded Abraham that Isaac was going to be killed. But this fellow had what I called an audacious and bold faith. Never knew what was going to happen, but believed that as long as God was in the plan, something was going to work out. We think of Noah. It had never rained before. No evidence of rain before. There had never been a judgment by flood before. But because God said it, he did not hesitate. He went ahead and built this massive boat in the middle of dry land. Why? Because of an audacious faith. My friend, when you believe God, and when you trust God, you don't question him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That when you believe who God is, and you know God's track record, you don't question him. It may seem ridiculous to the world, but then God has used the foolishness to confound the wise. And the Bible says that Noah obeyed God. We think of Moses. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And here as they came to the Red Sea, the Bible says that everybody began to get terrified. Because here was the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was bearing down on them. And Moses said, listen. He said in Exodus 14 verse 13, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. My friend, when we are up against dilemma and challenges, our duty is to remain calm and put our trust in God. We must understand that God's duty is to guide us. Our responsibility is to invest our faith in him. If we have a casual and mediocre faith, our lives are going to be frustrated. If our faith is barely enough, we are going to be ratcheting up problems after problems. And therefore, we have been called upon then, in our walk with God, to have a bold faith. David said in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Who do you trust in, my friend? Is it a politician? Is it a friend? Is it your job? Is it your career? Where does your trust lie? And I'm saying that the child of God must ensure that his trust lies in no one else. His ultimate trust. No one else but the Almighty God. We can't walk with God unless we have a bold faith. We are only fooling ourselves, because Christianity was never designed for mediocrity. Christianity was never designed for casualness. It was designed for people who are willing to work and put their faith into action. Noah believed God, so he built the ark. Moses believed God, so he led the Israelites. When you have a bold faith, it will push you to act. A bold and audacious faith. Then also, when it comes to this bold faith, we must learn to accept God's prerogative. There are things in our lives that we have no control over. We can try as much as we may. We will never ever change our circumstances. There are things that only God can deal with. We must learn to look at those things that we can change and place them in the hands of God. First Peter chapter 5 verse 7, Peter says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. One man says, don't judge me by my past, for I don't live there anymore. Don't live by a past, my friend. Don't do that. But whatever has happened cannot change. From here on, let God be God. Let go. And let God be God in your life. And do not try to steer your life with God. I like what Moses said in Exodus 14, verse 14. Just right there at the Red Sea, Moses said to the Israelites, he said, listen, the Lord will fight for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is bluffing? He says, I will fight for you. That requires a bold faith. If you do not believe what God has said, my friend, you will never walk with God as you need to. You'll never walk with him. We think of Jesus. Jesus wants his disciples to live fearless lives among people today. Regardless of where you live, God has placed you there to live a fearless and bold life. When others are getting chaotic and they're getting bewildered and perplexed, the Christian must teach others by his life who he serves. The Christian must understand that when others are losing their heads, his head is on his body because of who he's serving. Romans chapter 8 verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? We believe that. So when others are losing their cool, the Christian remains calm because of who he serves. And he serves the Almighty God. Then thirdly this evening, this kind of faith expects divine results. Let me try and tell you what I'm saying. When you invest your faith in God, expect returns. When you invest your faith in God, expect blessings in return. You have been called upon to live an audacious and bold life. God is now saying that when you do that, you must expect returns. Let's look at something here for a moment. True biblical faith, the kind of faith that the Bible talks about, is not an emotional kind of wishful thinking. For some, their faith is like playing the lottery. It is like, I hope, maybe, perhaps I'll win. The Christian doesn't live his life like that. When the Christian serves God, he knows that God will bless him. He knows without a doubt that God will bless him in his own time. And when he pleases, we do not have a faith that is similar to playing the lottery. It is not a wishful thinking. You know, you ask some Christians, do you believe that you will go to heaven? Well, you know, maybe, perhaps. That's an indictment on our faith. That when we live mediocre lives, we will never know for sure. We will always be if and butting about reaching heaven. We cannot afford to do that. When we live our lives boldly and fearlessly, we know for sure that we are not only walking with God, but we will reach heaven one day. We know that. So therefore, the biblical faith then that you and I must have is a kind of faith that is based on an inner conviction. Inner conviction. I really believe this thing. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That when you read God's word, this is how we gain faith. The more we read, the more we believe what we have read. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 20 and verse 31, Jesus Christ says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Our faith comes when we read God's word. Our faith comes not only that, but it comes when we hear God's word. And our faith is strengthened when we put what we have heard into action. But if what we have heard remains just a head knowledge, it will never be strengthened. The more we believe is the more we are to act. The more we are convicted, the more motivated we are to be in demonstrating our bold faith to others. And therefore, the Holy Spirit gives us faith through the Word. And so when the Holy Spirit gives us faith through the Word, the very presence of that faith in our hearts is all the assurance and evidence that we need. And therefore, that audacious faith, hear me now, that audacious faith that we get through the power of the Holy Spirit when we apply ourselves to the Word, that audacious faith enables the Christian then to treat the future as the present. That faith enables the Christian to treat the unseen as the seen. That is the kind of faith we ought to have. Anything less than that disqualifies us from walking with God. Through faith then, we can see what others can't see. It means that when your back is against the wall, and people have written you off, and have given up on you, your faith is in God that tells you that God isn't finished with you yet. Your faith tells you that even though your back is against the wall, as long as God is with you, you see, one man and God made the majority. And as long as God is with you, you know that something will be worked out, not by you, but by God. That is an audacious faith. A bold faith. And I hate to say it, but many Christians will continue to struggle because the level of faith they have is barely enough. It is just enough to take them to service and back, but not enough for them to stand up when everybody else is sitting down. Not enough for them to stand up and declare their faith in God. Not enough. You see, it is said that a dead fish will always go with the current, but it takes a live fish to swim against it. And Christians must ask themselves the question, am I a dead fish? Always going with the current? Or is my faith bold and audacious and fearless that I will stand up even when I'm standing alone physically because I know God is standing with me? An audacious kind of faith. We think of Abraham then. When Abraham went to Mount Moriah to offer his son Isaac, the Bible says just as he was about to slay his son, that the angel of the Lord intervened and said, "Now I know that you are not just a man who says I have faith, but you have demonstrated it." That's a bold and audacious faith. And look at this now. The Bible says that a ram was provided that he used as the sacrifice. What's my point? My point is this. When you invest your faith in God, God will provide. Hence, Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provided. When you trust God, expect returns, friend. You are not wasting your time. You are investing your faith in God. And the Bible tells us that Abraham was provided a ram. I think of Joseph. He was sold as a slave in Egypt. And his brothers thought that this was the end of him. But here, nobody knew that God was merely positioning Joseph. He was merely strategizing Joseph's life. And Joseph moved from a slave to a prisoner to prime minister of Egypt. All because all this while, God was repositioning Joseph's life. Because remember this, when he was sold as a slave in Egypt, Joseph did not give up his faith. He relied on God nevertheless. When he was a prisoner, he relied on God nevertheless. And the returns now started to come in. He was now appointed second in command of Egypt. Second in command. We think of the folks, the Israelites. when they were told to take down the walls of Jericho. No, this is the most ridiculous strategies I've ever seen. I'm one of those who like to watch the military channel. I like to watch the strategies that were used in the wars before. But I've never ever seen a strategy like the Israelites had in bringing down the walls of Jericho. And the Bible says that the Israelites marched around Jericho once every day for 7 days, on the seventh day, seven times. If I were a citizen of Jericho, looking over the walls and seeing these Israelites marching around, I would have thought that these were insane people, that the Israelites have gone mad. But when God's plan is on demonstration, friends, some will think that God is ridiculous. But God then has used foolish things to put to shame those who are wise. You are called upon to believe in that which you do not see. Others will think that you are being foolish. But that is an audacious faith. And the Bible says that the Israelites brought down the walls of Jericho, not through some atomic bomb, not through some minor bomb that was planted at the base of the walls, but by merely obeying the command of God. When you leave this evening and you go back to your homes, God wants us to become His representatives of what it means to have a bold faith. That when you go back to work, you may be the only one at your work who will stand up for what is right. But remember that when you stand up, you're not standing alone, for God stands with you. Remember that. It was David who said in Psalm 23 verse 4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's all the Christian wants to hear. That's all the child of God needs to hear. In Job 23, as I close, and verse 10, Job says, "Yet he knows the way I take. When he has tested me or tried me, I will come forth as gold." Did you know, my friend, that our faith is never, ever genuine? Hear me now, hear this. Until it goes through the fire. Our faith is not tested until it goes through the fire, so to speak. The fire of financial difficulties. The fire of family problems. You name it, our faith is tested. Just like the very gold you have on. That gold that looks so sparkling. It was never always like that. It was filled with impurities when it was taken from the mine. It had to be melted in intense heat so that the impurities could be removed. And now you have a very sophisticated and refined piece of metal that is so valuable today. That is your faith. Your faith will never ever be strong until it goes through intense heat. And then when it is tested, if you are faithful and genuine in serving God, it will come forth as gold, as Job said. And then he says, "You know what? I may not know many things. I may not know how I'm going to pay my bills. I may not know how I'm going to deal with my health problems. I may not know how I'm going to finance my children through college." But Job said, "If there's one thing I know," he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Amen. And as the song says, "He have a praise for me." Make sure that when all is said and done, you have a bold and genuine faith that will push you into action. Anything less is not sufficient to walk with God. Maybe as I've been speaking this evening, there's somebody in the audience who has done some kind of self-examination and recognized that their faith is not where it needs to be. Maybe you came here this evening, but you barely made it by faith. Barely made it. Perhaps you're going through the motion, even as I speak. Just going through the motion. But as you step through those doors, back out there in the world, that little casual mediocre faith is going to be torn to pieces by the cynics and the doubters and the skeptics of this world. And my challenge to you is, seek the prayers of the brethren so that God can renew you with strength and vigor, so that as you face this world, you can face this world with a faith that is bold and audacious. That's my challenge to you. And maybe there's somebody who here is not a child of God. You cannot walk with God unless you first hear that word. Romans 10:17. We talked about that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot walk with God unless you're willing to repent of your sins. And repentance is a decision you make not to live as you have been living. Luke 13 verse 3 says, repent or you will perish. So repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of decision. And you need to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then be baptized in water. It is when you are baptized in water, Galatians 3 and verse 27, the Bible says when you are baptized, you put on Christ. And then you're able to walk with Him. But you cannot walk with Christ unless you have been baptized into Him. So if you're here this evening, and this invitation is for you, don't hesitate, my friend. For God seeks those who have a desire to walk with Him. As we stand and sing that song.
Number 50. Our song of invitation will be...